You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along to episode 3 of our World Cup coverage here on Down the Line on the RNIB Connect Radio network. So, yeah, we're going to be looking back at the results for England and Scotland over the last week and then looking ahead at some potential pathways for at least one of the two nations, hopefully two, but at least one of the two nations going forward in the tournament. So, yeah, joining me today, as always, is Andrew and Macca. So, hi, gents. How you doing?
Morning,
hi,
lads.
Guys, how are you doing?
Not as tired as you guys. I'm not bad at all.
yeah, recording on late Thursday morning after Scotland's defeat to Brazil, which we'll certainly come to, but that was another late night, the game finishing about 1 in the morning this morning. So yeah, we'll certainly come to those. So just to recap, since we last recorded, Scotland have played two matches, so a 1-0 defeat on Friday night to Morocco, followed by 3-0 defeat to Brazil last night on Wednesday evening, and England played one match against Ghana on Tuesday, drawn 0-0. So not fantastic results for either nation, it's fair to say, but yeah, we can just bash on into it. So let's start with England then first. We normally start with Scotland, but let's go for England. Andrew, 0-0 draw against Ghana, is that kind of second game syndrome that sometimes England can have in these major tournaments, but probably nothing too much to worry about with Panama coming up at the weekend and really a chance to top the group.
After the first game, I think there was a lot of hype and they probably deserved it, but equally it was like watching a Premier League game, just where you have one team that's better than the other and they just defended very well. I was hoping that they would put more pressure on the goalkeeper because he doesn't actually play he doesn't play in one of the top European leagues. I think he actually plays in the Ghanaian league. So you'd like to think, although he's going to be good enough, you'd like to see, perhaps a few more shots of range or, something to really sort of test him. But I don't think they did. And, we've seen it so many times with teams putting in low blocks. They are tough to break down and they did do a good job. So I think a point was frustrating, but, hopefully they can beat Panama and they'll finish top of the group and it won't matter.
I was trying to work this out earlier on today. If England win and top the group, they play a third place team. Is that right, Andrew?
That is what they play the best, one of the better third place teams. Although we're still half the fixtures to go. I'm not sure who that'll be yet.
Yeah, tricky to try and work out. Not great when we're trying to give some foresight into when fixtures will take place, because it's going to be difficult to guess even kick-off times and days. But yeah, it will all depend where England will finish in the group. But yeah, let's hope for their sake that they've beat Panama on Saturday night and finished top of the group. And yeah, maybe open up a pathway into the last 16 in quarterfinals as we go on. Yeah, anything on kind of team selection there, Andrew? Or any notable changes that were made? I know maybe Jed Spence coming in at left back and Anthony Gordon playing ahead of Rashford. So a couple of slight differences that maybe... Well, but do you see those kind of changes sticking throughout the tournament, or do you see something like Rashford maybe starting in the midfield, etc.?
I think so. I think we might see a couple of changes for the match on Saturday. I think they should try and rotate Harry Kane a little bit more, because as brilliant as he is, I think everyone pins their hopes on him pulling something out the bag when no one else is doing it. I think they could do with, I think Ivan Toney would probably play quite well against Panama, even just for half an hour. But I think the other team selections were quite adequate. They did it. They played fine against Croatia. So I guess there's no reason why not to go with the same team. But Gordon wasn't quite on his top game, but I would have brought Rashford on sooner. And I probably would have played Nico O'Reilly at the back instead of Jed Spence, but I think that's probably just the sort of team he prefers. But then going on club form in the previous season, Nico O'Reilly had a much better season for City than Spence did for Tottenham, so I would do that. And plus he's played at the back with Mark Gay most of the season as well. So
England will finish their group on Saturday night against Panama. It's a 10 o'clock kickoff, 10 p.m. kickoff against Panama. So yeah, moving across to the Scotland results, so two to cover here. Two disappointing results. First of all, Morocco, a 1-0 defeat Friday night, followed by the 3-0 defeat to Brazil, means that Scotland are sitting in third place after that group is finished, and with a minus 3 goal difference, which may or may not be enough to qualify through the group in one of those top third place finishes. Statistically, it looks unlikely, but it's not impossible. Maka, what's your hopes now that we do get out of the group? And generally, what's your thoughts on how we approach those two games, Morocco and Brazil?
I thought we flattered to deceive in both of them. The first half against Morocco, we just weren't in it. We were in a different stratosphere. The second half, we got back into it a bit more, but again, Morocco took their foot off the pedal. But of course, when you concede a goal after 70-odd seconds, you're always chasing your tails. Basically, you're giving yourself a mountain to climb. So you think, right, okay, we've played Morocco, they're sixth in the world. They've got good players. You think, right, yeah, we gave a goal away. We did get back in it a little bit in the second half, but again, Morocco took their foot off the pedal. You think, right, we'll learn going forward, we'll learn from this, and we may do a bit better against Brazil. So, wasn't really expecting us to beat Brazil. I say we'd do a bit better, we'd keep the ball a bit better, we'd do a little bit more with the ball. I think there'll not be many teams in the world that'll draw with Brazil, never mind beat them. But of course, we didn't learn from our mistakes, and 7 minutes into the game, we conceded a goal through Dillian and Dalian at the back. And then we could have conceded a second through Jack Henry. But luckily, that got overturned by VAR. So then you're sitting there thinking, OK, maybe something's going for us. But we conceded again, just when you don't want to concede, and added on time in the first half. And you think, right, OK, second half, what's going to happen? Maybe we can go for it a little bit more. We didn't. Towards the end, we kind of went for it. But again, Brazil took their foot off the pedal and we ultimately conceded a third goal. Mm-hmm. We started off second place in the best third place teams table and we're now seventh. It's heartbreaking. It's, since Bolivia, we've never beat a South American team like anyway in competitions. I feel we've got no one that can score goals. I feel that a lot of our big players didn't turn up whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I personally don't think we deserve to go through. I think we do for the fans because they've been absolutely immense and they deserve so much more. But from the team point of view, I don't think we deserve to go through. I think we've got this kind of psyche in the nation that we just think we're happy to get to a World Cup and we're just happy to go for a party. I don't know if we need to change that. We're not just going there to make up the numbers anymore. We maybe need to change our thinking. Albeit it was a tough group. But obviously, I know people will say, well, you had the result against Denmark. That's all right. That was a freakish result. We scored a goal from the halfway line. We scored a goal from an overhead kick. And obviously, Steve Clarke was given a contract before the World Cup started. So I can't imagine anything changing anytime soon with Steve Clarke. And of course, he is stubborn and he likes his ways.
Steve Clarke last night, I feel like there was a slight change from Clarke with the way we set out. I think that he made the changes that most people were kind of wanting, apart from maybe potentially going to up top. That's a big call against Brazil. But he bringing in Doak from the start, bringing in McKenna for Hanley at the back, moving McGinn to the left. There's a few things that people had wanted. And I think in terms of how Scotland played last night, I think we looked a lot more comfortable on the ball. Ironically, we give away goals because we're a bit sloppy on the ball. But I think generally it looked a little bit better than just trying to pin the ball up to Shea Adams, who'll run all day but really not give you anything. So it was interesting that I didn't think Clarke would ever do those kind of changes. Do you think that was a bit of pressure on Clarke to do that? Or do you think that was genuine, where he's seen that game going?
Yeah, I mean, I must give him credit because through the three games, what the fans were shouting for, they got, if that makes sense. But I just think we're trying to play football out from the back. I mean, look at the goal against Morocco that we conceded. Starts with an Angus Gunn, short pass out of the out from his goal, and then there's Hanley trying to play someone offside. And I'm thinking, the game's just started, 70 seconds gone. Don't be playing someone offside. Even the Brazil game last night, Robinson. One of their goals came from Robinson giving the ball away. Just hoof it down the park. it's not rocket science. A lot of these players play for, they play around the world. Napoli, Premiership clubs, Bologna, which, by the way, when I mentioned Bologna, I thought Lewis Ferguson was Scotland's man of the tournament.
I think he really did agree with that.
And I thought Kenny McLean came in last night and done really well as well. And I also thought when they took when they took Robinson off because he got an injury, and they brought Kieran Tierney on, I thought he was brilliant. I thought he really had a good game last night. But I just think the writing was on the wall after the Haiti result. I mean, if you look at the other two teams in the group, Brazil and Morocco, Morocco took 4 goals off them. Yeah, they're in 2. And Brazil took 3. And we took 1. And if we don't get through, that probably be what it'll be. It'll be the goal difference. And I said that after the Haiti game. Down the line, I said, if we don't get through, that's what it'll be. But I must mention the Morocco game. I experienced that in the fan zone at the Hydro. And I thought that was absolutely immense. They had loads of equipment for commentary, etc. They even had a radio channel that you could tune your radio into and pick up the live feed of the comedy. The entertainment and everything was amazing. The atmosphere was brilliant. But Scotland let us down on the park, as usual. And that's ultimately what it's been through all the World Cup so far. I mean, Boston and Miami have taken Scottish people to their hearts.
Yeah.
You know, they've bought into the whole Scotland idea. I imagine the economy's going up. I imagine the Scottish Tourist Board will be happy because there'll be a lot of people from America coming over to Scotland to visit and for holidays, etc. But it's just on the park. We just struggled. We're just flat to deceive. And ultimately, in the last 5 tournaments, we haven't laid a glove on anyone.
Thanks, Michael. So, just looking ahead to at least one more game for England. That's Panama on Saturday night, 10 p.m. At this point, still to wait and see whether Scotland have any more games to play in this tournament. Fingers crossed that managed to squeak through as one of these third-place teams. But as I say, maybe looking... looking a little bit unlikely at the minute. But, Mac, a big question. If this time next week, if Scotland are out of the tournament, are you still going to join us for the downline coverage? There we go. Good.
Of course, we all know it is. No Scotland, no party, though.
No Scotland, no party. Well, good luck to England on Saturday night. And, we'll speak to you both next week. Thanks very much, guys.
You're welcome. Cheers, Neil.
Guys.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.